It's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now,
good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you are an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because of course all are welcome to Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. I'm the one they call Clinton. Unfortunately, Leslie is not with us today, but fortunately, we have with us our super wonderful guest co-host, Abigail Rinicky.
It's actually Rinicka.
God, but darn it!
You were very close.
I think I was closer than last time.
Yes, I think so. I might have told you how to say it first last time.
He says, scrambling for a little bit of success.
You are closer than most people. Most people look at it and freak out.
Well, good. No freaking here. Good morning, Abigail. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm awake and out of my house on Sunday morning. So, you know, this is good.
Homegrown. It's the show that encourages hermiting for our listeners, but not for our hosts.
Yes, I'm out here being involved in the community. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
That's a good thing.
It is.
You know, it's also a good thing.
What?
Our parental advisory.
Oh, yes. Very important.
Yes, indeed. So, we have to start the show with a parental advisory for all you parentals out there. You're going to be advised. We may, at some point in this show, say the word. We'll try not to. We will so try not to. Oh, my gosh. But at some point in the show, we might say the word allergens. Goodness gracious. Might we say that evil, evil word, allergens. I don't know why. I can't imagine any real reason why that should come up in conversation.
Clinton has no personal investment in this term.
None at all. Homegrown does not support allergens in any way, shape, or form. Any allergens mentioned on Homegrown are not are the property of Homegrown itself, and not of 94.7. if you have lovely little innocent people and you want to keep them away from allergens, then you might want to warn them.
That would be a scary moment. So yes, please take care of your young ones and your innocent. Hide them from Clinton's allergens.
It's not just my allergens. They're everyone's allergens. Except, you know.
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. We'll go with that, Clinton.
Let's head to our first guest. Our first guest comes to us from just north of here in the lovely little environs of Barbersville, at least artistically speaking wise, from Four County Players, Debbie Owen. How you doing, Debbie?
Good morning. I'm very happy to be here.
Welcome, welcome. For your first time on Homegrown.
Yes, indeed. First time on the radio that I can think of.
Really?
Yes.
That is a crime, because you have a very nice radio voice.
Well, thank you. I'll work on that.
Don't work on it too much. They'll probably kick me out and have you come in. Jeff will be like, who was that person that you talked to? I was like, she had a vocoder. She it was
right,
like, it was,
right.
it was,
mm.
that was all true tone.
Oh, totally. Yes.
So welcome.
Thank you.
How are things going at Four County Players?
Oh, things are going great. We are furiously heading towards production of our Christmas show, which starts November 18th. And this year will be a Charlie Brown Christmas, which we all know from the TV special. And this is a stage production of exactly what you see on TV. And so it's going to be really fun to see this very familiar story brought to life and, you know, done in that live theater environment. So we're really excited about that.
Right, which I see as a bit of a coup. Maybe not, but it's because yes. we talked to Ed about the season.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, we just lost our stuff. We just lost our allergies. So how did you possibly, we didn't know that was available. How did you possibly get the rights to do that?
I can't speak to what the programming committee does. I will say we have a programming committee that does a great job of finding out what shows are available. And when they plan the season out, I know it's been a lot of back and forth with the publisher of this stage version. And we got the rights to it. So
this is part of the magic of theater, Clinton. Things happen backstage that you don't see from the outside.
Deals are made that don't need to be shared.
I will say a few other things about this production that make it maybe different from our normal shows. Because it is just based on the TV show, it's not a long show. So it's overall about an hour length.
Right, because the TV show is about an hour.
Right. Yeah. And so we're doing it without an intermission, but it'll be a great show to bring kids to. If your kids haven't been to live theater before, this is a wonderful way to introduce them to it. And it won't have an intermission, but there will be a chance after the show for photo opportunities with the cast members. Kids will be able to go and get pictures taken with the cast in their costumes and that sort of thing. So we're going to make it a real special event for people, families who come out.
Oh, that sounds really fun. And do you have a lot of kids in the show? That's one of the things I love about
Actually, no. The cast itself is more, it's a adult, young adult cast.
Okay.
So it's not a children's production, but it's a adult production being done for kids. So, or for families, for anybody who wants a good feel-good Christmas experience during the holiday season.
It's such a great idea for a holiday show because it's something that people know. It's a clear draw, but it's not something that's been done to death, like
like
so many holiday shows that we run into. That's really
exactly.
Yeah, that was such a smart call.
We're really excited about it. And it opens on November 18th. And it runs through December 11th. The first few weekends, the schedule is a little varied because of the Thanksgiving break and everything. But if you go to the website, 4cp.org, you can find out the full schedule of shows, and tickets are already on sale for that.
Cool.
And that's only 3 weeks away, isn't it?
Yes. So they're coming down to the wire on the set, I hear, is coming together beautifully. And, you know, the cast is putting the final touches together before heading into Tech Week. So.
Cool. Well, we'll have to get somebody on the air to talk about it.
Yes, exactly.
So one of the reasons we have you here, well, other than the fact that you're a wonderful person, is that you are the new president.
That's correct.
Of the board of Four County Players,
That's
right?
correct.
So for people who don't understand how community theater works or how most not-for-profit theaters works, and by the way, not-for-profit theater is almost a redundant term.
Yes.
Because there are very, 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 very few for-profit theaters.
Yes.
Tell them what that means, president of a board. What's the relationship between the board and the theater? Can you give them a little...
Sure. At Four County, the board of directors is very much a working board, which means the people who agree to serve on the board are signing up to be the producers for shows, to provide food for work days, to do cleaning the bathrooms. The board members do all sorts of things at that theater. We only have one paid staff person. We have a part-time office manager who runs the box office and takes care of things during the week. So as president, I am her boss and oversee the daily work that she does in the office. That would be, of course, Ro Halpin, that we all know and love.
Wonderful Ro.
and then keeping an eye on all the different things that the board members are doing. We have committees for the production committee, I already mentioned. There's a building committee that, for instance, this past summer took care of getting a new exterior painting done on the building. So my job as president is overseeing the people who are running those committees and helping with issues that come up and making judgment calls on what things that need to happen. It's a very administrative job. It's being like the executive director of the operation. We don't have a paid executive director. The president is it. And then delegating out to the rest of the board as much as I can.
Wow, sounds like quite a job.
Yes.
So you talked about volunteers, and you have committees managing all these projects.
Yes.
How did you first get involved with Four County? I mean, did you come in as a volunteer on the ground?
Yes. I first got involved probably about 9 years ago when my children were cast in a Christmas show. And they said that they needed help with an assistant stage manager. I thought, okay, I kind of know how to do that. I can do that. And so I discovered that I'm pretty good at doing stage managing. I really thrive in that environment, being backstage, supporting the production, working with the director through the rehearsal phase, working with the actors, and making sure that they have a smooth show. And so over the years, both through shows that my kids were in and then later on shows that I could just do myself, I've done a lot of stage managing. I've helped train other stage managers there. I've, you know, tried to mentor other people in that job. Mm-hmm. And then I joined the board a year ago in June. So after years of working at, just as a volunteer and being involved in many ways, then I decided it was time to actually step onto the board. And then from there, the next natural step was to take over when the presidency was vacated.
Of course, you join the board, and then the next thing you do is become the president.
Right, right. I think one thing that I bring that's helpful as president is that I have a real administrative mind about things. It's what I do in my day job as well. But I also have worked on the artistic side. By being a stage manager, by being involved in productions, by very rarely stepping on stage myself, I can kind of bridge between the artistic vision of the theater and what's needed administratively to keep it running. And it's helpful to have a person who understands the needs of both sides of the theater operations.
Yes. As someone who's been involved with theater, I'll full disclosure, I have worked with Debbie as my stage manager before, and she was indeed wonderful.
Yes.
But as someone who's worked in theater, it is so important to find leadership who understands both sides of those issues.
Yeah, there is a business side to theater. I mean, we wish, as Clinton was joking, you know, most theaters are not making a profit. We wish that we could just do the shows that we all love and do great shows and not worry about the bottom line. Right.
Right.
But the reality is we also have to pay the electric bill and we have to have the money to keep the shows going and to build a set and all those things. And so you have to be able to look at both sides of it. You can't ignore the business side for the sake of the artistic side.
Right. Well, it sounds like they found a wonderful person to fill that job.
I'm growing into it. It's been a few months now since I officially took over, and I am, with each month, growing into what I need to be doing. So
excellent. And of all these projects you guys are working on, I know you have a building project going on. Is there anything else really exciting, or what's going on with the building project?
Yeah, the building project, we call it Build a Backstage. It's our Build a Backstage campaign. For those who don't know the physical setup at Four County Players, the building that we are so thrilled to use is actually owned by Orange County. It's it was part of the original Barbersville High School.
It was a one-room schoolhouse, wasn't it?
Sort of. It's about a 75-year-old building, and we lease it from Orange County for, I don't know, $10 a year or something like that. It's got a wonderful theater, auditorium
space. By
the way,
if there are any public servants out there, anybody listening who work for cities or counties or areas and wondering what you can do to significantly support the arts, maybe possibly something like leasing out a space to a very valuable arts organization for something like $10 a year.
Yeah,
might be a way of doing it.
We really value our partnership with Orange County, definitely. But so the theater itself is great. But when you walk out the back door of the theater, you are outside. And we have a deck back there that is covered. But for actors to get from the downstairs where the costume rooms, dressing rooms and everything are, to get up to the theater, they have to come outside in all kinds of weather. And Abigail is laughing. The show that Abigail was in, she was out there doing a costume change in the freezing cold in December.
In the snow and the sleet.
Yes, because that's the only space that we have. And so we have a vision to enclose that backstage area, enlarge the backstage. We want a quick change dressing area back there. We want room for the set build people to be able to work inside so that in the winter months they have climate controlled working conditions, place for storage for tools and supplies. We've had situations where we had to throw lumber away because it was out in the elements, and by the time they came back the next week to keep working on the set, you know, it had gotten rained on and wasn't workable anymore. So we really, the goal is to enclose that backstage area for both the sake of the actors' comfort and for the technical crews that are working on productions.
And not just comfort, but also, as you're saying, just for the effectiveness of that working space, the workability
exactly.
of that space.
Exactly. Right. Many things will be able to work much more efficiently. when this gets done. So the status of it, this project has been in the works for a couple of years now. It kind of, you know, as with many things, started with a lot of energy and then kind of got bogged down in some details. We're
where we need your administrative guidance.
Yes. So we're at the place now where we're picking it back up again. We have architectural drawings that have been created of, you know, really what the plan is. We're taking those drawings now, working on the fundraising side of it, going to foundations, individuals, anybody that wants to talk to us. We have a presentation of what it is that we're trying to do, what the vision is, and we're working on getting the capital campaign underway so that we can get enough money in the bank that we can then start talking to builders and then establish a timeline for construction and so on. We were fortunate last year. We were given a matching grant from the Perry Foundation. So that's one of our goals with the fundraising is raising the funds for that matching grant. When we've hit that goal, they'll be giving us an extra $50,000. And so that's a big focus right now. That gives us a wonderful starting point. Well, you know, that's a great reward for the efforts that are being put into the fundraising and so on.
All right. 16 minutes past the hour. This is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. If you're just joining us, we're here talking to Debbie Owen, president of the board of directors of Four County Players. And we'll be back talking to Debbie after, this is the first time I'm going to say something this formal on the show, after these words from our sponsors. All right, 18 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. Make sure you stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Sean McCord. He's going to be talking to Jody Kielbasa, real name.
I believe you.
Jody Kielbasa. Of the, you know, I shouldn't do that. I've been making fun of this poor man's name for the last 2 weeks. He's going to come here and punch my lights out, which I deserve.
Honestly, now I want to listen to hear what he's going to say about you.
He's coming in to talk about the Virginia Film Festival. Stay tuned afterwards. But don't go away because we've got so much more of a show coming up. Debbie.
Hi.
So what challenges are you looking forward to as under your run as president and as the new president of Four County Players? Will we hear about an email scandal where you've been keeping four county emails on a personal email server, not at your home, but at Live Arts,
well,
another theater?
I'll tell you, I created a special Gmail account for my four county emails. I don't know if that counts as a scandal, but
oh.
It was time to go to Gmail and say, help me out here. I can't have all these mixed in with my personal mailbox. That's the extent of my email.
I think as long as classified four county emails
right.
don't get into your Gmail, then I think
yes.
you might be fine.
Yes. I would say, you know, my vision as president is to really, we've got great people on that board, really hardworking people, and even non-board members who work very hard and who help in many areas.
And it's a pretty static board, right? I mean, there are a lot of people who've been there for a while.
Yes, yeah. And they show great commitment. And so really, my vision is to empower the people to do what they do best and to recognize that we all bring different gifts. Some people are great at the production side of it. Some people are great at facilities. Some people are great at bistro operations, finance committee, whatever it may be. Figure out the thing you do best and go do it. And I don't want to be looking over people's shoulders. I don't want to be micromanaging. I want to say I trust you, and we are all working together to the same goal here, and go do the thing that you're good at doing. And if you're somehow got into an area that you don't feel as comfortable with, that's fine. Then let's reassign you to the committee or the task or the responsibility that works best for you. I don't want somebody to feel trapped in, oh, I've signed up to do this and now it's not working out.
Well, jeepers, Debbie, you sound like an experienced manager.
I know. I was going to say, gosh, I want Debbie to be my boss. Speaking of which, as a Far County volunteer of various varieties, incarnations, people can come and get involved in Far County in all kinds of different ways, can't they? If, say, somebody listening has been thinking about maybe doing some theater or...
If they've been pining away, dreaming of thoughts about how they can participate with such admittedly lovely and wonderful people.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. If they like bright lights, they want to be under them, they want to be working them.
Right. So for actually being under the lights, that involves auditioning for shows and getting cast in shows. And we cannot all be cast in all shows.
What?
I know. It's the harsh reality. But aside from looking for upcoming auditions and doing that, the easiest way to just walk in the door and help is on set build days. And pretty much every Saturday leading up to a production is a set build day. And we do have weekly emails that go out. If you want to be on the email list to find out what's going on any particular week, you can contact the theater. The number 4 countyplayers at gmail.com. Or go to the website. Go to the website. We've just created a volunteer data collection form that should be available on the website now. And you can fill that out and send that in by email, and we'll get you in the database. There's showing up for set build days. We also frequently need people to help run sound or lights during shows. There's working backstage. As I said, I do stage managing. We need assistant stage managers. Depending on the complexity of the show, sometimes you need extra people to just run props around and things like that.
Or just to move things on stage even, right?
Every show has a costumer, and frequently they might need sewing assistance. Like just, you know, here's a list of costumes that need adjustment or seams sewn up or whatever. And some of it is work that can be taken home. Some of it is work at the theater. Most of it is at the theater by the nature of what we do. But there are jobs like that, like being a costume assistant that, you know, you could do on your own time when it fits in. So there are lots of different things that people can do to be involved out there. And as I said, if you go to the website, you should find ways to get your name out there so that we can contact you and let you know when those needs come up.
See, it's great because we usually speak to actors and directors on the show, and we love doing that. That's great. But we know, because we've done so much theater, that there's a lot more going on. In fact, wouldn't you say, let me know what you think about this, wouldn't you say that it's safe to say that for most shows, there are more people working and doing volunteer opportunities backstage, offstage, out of sight, than there are on stage?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It takes a whole team to put together what's happening on the stage.
Yeah, so if you don't know, theater's like an iceberg, and like what you're seeing on stage is nice, and it glistens in the sun when the lights hit it just right, and it's really interesting. But that's just the tip of what the show structure actually is.
Right, right.
Yeah, one of the things about theater is, you know, you see the actors on stage, and they are kind of the face of a show, and all of those brilliant, talented people who put together the set design and built things, painted things, did the lighting setup, director choices. The audience doesn't get to see them, but their contribution is so important to a show. I can't say enough in praise of how hard all those people work and how much their brilliance adds to what we do.
And let me say, most of those jobs that I just talked about, things volunteers can do, don't take specific training. You know, if you're willing to be there for performances, we can train you to run the light board. We can, you know, there's a lighting designer who will have set the design of the lights, but running the light board is a totally different thing. And you can be trained on that and learn how to do that. And so don't feel like you have to already know what some of these things are if you want to come join us and do that.
Cool. Cool. Very cool. Debbie, thank you so much for
joining us here on
Homegrown.
I did want to say one other thing. We started with talking about the Charlie Brown Christmas show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to mention we are having one special performance that in coordination with the Autism Theater Project.
And what is... Wait, hold on. Hold on. This sounds interesting. What is the Autism Theater Project?
So that's an organization that tries to find theatrical experiences for families who have a family member who struggles with autism. And so... the idea is that the production is done maybe with modified lighting and modified sound, and they try and create an environment that the children can be comfortable in so they can have a theatrical experience and not get frightened or whatever by the things that might normally be difficult for them. So it's a special matinee performance. Tickets for that are available through Autism Theater Project. That's going to be on December 3rd at 2 p.m. And so that's a special matinee for that group. But I do want to mention that because we're really excited. It's our first time working with this group, but we're really excited about this opportunity.
Wow, I think that has a lot of potential to reap a lot of rewards. I mean, I know personally that I've worked with a couple of people who've been very lightly on the spectrum and have seen how theater really appeals to them in a lot of different ways.
Right.
If only for the case that it's this really interesting combination of a very social event where you really have to get out there and interact with people, but is also very controlled.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And that is Sunday, December 3rd, you said?
Saturday. The Saturday.
Oh, okay. So there's a special Saturday matinee?
Yes. Right. It's in addition to the regular programming. It's a separate show.
Excellent. That's really exciting. Do you have any idea what's going to be different for that show?
I don't know. Okay. I know that our production team has been talking to the people from this organization about specific modifications that they'll be making, but I can't tell you any specifics right now.
It'll just have to be a surprise.
That's right. Exactly.
Excellent.
Debbie, thank you once again for coming on the show. Could you give them the what, where, and when for the Charlie Brown Christmas?
Charlie Brown Christmas starts November 18th. It runs through December 11th. Generally, our shows are Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday matinee. But some of those, as I said, with Thanksgiving weekend, it's not necessarily that full schedule. So check out the website. And tickets are available online or by calling the box office, 4cp.org. All the information should be there.
There you go. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
All right. It is 28 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, show about local art. And we should talk about some of the local art that's coming up. And in order to do that, I probably should have some local art music coming up. Oh, man. Yeah, maybe something like that.
Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
All right. Further from sobriety. Sobriety. Currently running from now until November 29th, the American Shakespeare Center's summer fall season continues. That is 12th Night, King Lear and Henry VI, Part 2 by Shakespeare and the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Currently running in from now until November 5th, The Electric Baby at Live Arts. See this show. It's been selling out, so get your tickets as soon as you can. November 2nd, The Literary Salon with Kristen Swenson and the intersection of spirituality and the environment at the Charlottesville Writer House. November 3rd to November 6th, the 29th Annual Virginia Film Festival. What? Do we have a film festival?
Quentin, I don't know what kind of rock you've been living under for the last, how many years has it been now? But I believe we do actually have a film festival, if I'm not mistaken.
Clear your schedule. Look under your cushions. Get out all that spare change. It's time for the 29th Annual Virginia Film Festival. November 3rd is an MFA reading series for Millie Joe's Coffee and Gelato. It continues this week, Valencia Robin and Adam Rue. Also November 3rd, Books on Tap series of the JMRL. That's the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, our favorite Jefferson Madison Regional Library. And it considers The Dinner by Herman December 1st, is going to be A Christmas Memory by Truman Capote. On November 4th is going to be an art opening with Ken Chasen's Watercolors at the Charlottesville Writer House. Also, Brielle Duflon's Exhibit of 9 Hand-Sewn Assemblages of Collected Trash on Canvas. Title, We Made This at the Bridge PAI, Big Blue Door, First Friday Improv at McGuffey Arts Center, and Eli Cook's band doing a Jimi Hendrix tribute, Bold as Love, at the XR Park on November 4th. Boom! Today! And here's just some of the musical options that you've got rushing your way. Today, Albemarle Ensemble at the at Old Cabell Hall. This is number 2 of 6 of UVA's Chamber Music Series. What can you do better on a Sunday? Chamber music on a Sunday. Get yourself to Old Cabell Hall. November 1st, the Charlottesville Municipal Band performs in support of their November 5th 95th season at the Paramount Theater. This is their benefit concert for themselves. Go check this out. November 1st, open mic night at Charlottesville at the Anteroom. November 1st, also Travis Elliott at Fellini's. On the 2nd, Richmond's South Hill Banks at Rapture. On the 3rd, get this. Okay, you're not doing anything on the 3rd. You're not staying at home on the 3rd. DVR everything. You're going out. November 3rd, here are your choices. Devin Sprawl with Jan Smith at the Sunday Cafe Music Hall. David Tewksbury, Ryan Garst, and Emily Kresge at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Alice and the Benders at Dirty Nelly's. And First Thursday Old Time Jam at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. Also, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's. On the 4th, it's the Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's. And the 5th, the UVA Choral Showcase at Old Cabell Hall. Aaron and the Wildfire at Heritage on Main. John Dearth at Fellini's. Lorne Nelson at the Batesville Market. And Luca Dora at Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Of course, every Monday, it's the Cannibal Lecter Death Organ Trio at Rapture. It's also the singer-songwriter night at the local. Every Tuesday, it's the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. And every Wednesday, it's open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bob Bonetta at Cafe Katura. Our man Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker doing their quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And every Thursday, if you can't stand that, head down to Miller's for the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some of the artistic joys waiting for you in our joyfully artistic town. If you're an artist and you have an event that you'd like us to tell people about, we'd like to tell them about it. www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc or email us at our handy dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. This is 33 Minutes Past the Hour. You listen to Homegrown. Brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner. Do you know about the Blue Moon Diner? Abigail?
Have you heard
about the Blue Moon Diner?
Maybe.
Let me tell you about the Blue Moon Diner.
Tell me about it.
It's breakfast all day, every day at the Blue Moon Diner. With brunch on Saturdays and Sundays and carefully constructed diner food in the afternoons and evenings. And speaking of the evenings, my dear Abigail, the Blue Moon Diner is nice enough in the evenings to support visiting and local artists this week. As a matter of fact, Tuesday, it's Mojo Pie. Wednesday, Jim Wave. Thursday, Youngstown, Ohio's The Bees Trees presents their fusion of jazz, roots rock, reggae, and the blues. Not a lot. Not something really complex. Just something simple. Fusion, roots rock, reggae, blues, jazz, whatever. Friday, Blues and Stuff, Classic Blues Jam with Ken Waxman. That's all going down at the Blue Moon Diner. Boom.
Well, gosh, sounds like I need to get to the Blue Moon Diner.
It sounds like that, doesn't it? I think we crossed the cheese level in terms of our sponsors. But, you know, Blue Moon Diner is wonderful things with cheese. Whoa, all the way.
Yeah,
in for
did.
A penny,
you went
in
there.
For a pound. Oh. 34 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 97 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown. Stay tuned afterwards, of course, for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your man Sean McCord. He's going to be talking to Jody Kilbasa from that little thing that we talk about, the Virginia Film Festival. But first, killer stuff right here. Our next guest, we have, yay, people coming to us from, people coming to us from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, our favorite Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Abby Cox, how are you, Abby?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you, Clinton?
I am well. Thank you for coming on Homegrown.
Thanks for having me.
And can you tell us who you've brought with you today?
I have brought author Meredith Cole. She's going to be sitting on an author panel this coming Saturday. Central Branch.
Hello, Meredith. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Abby, could you go and join Meredith at her mic? It looks like that mic is being cantankerous. There you go. We'll work it out. Okay, let's hit that again. What's going on, Abby?
We're going to have a local author panel at the Central Library this coming Saturday. It's going to start at 10 a.m. and then be followed by an author fair until about 1 p.m.
Local author panel. Tell us about, what is that? Tell us about it.
Okay, it's going to feature four local authors, including Meredith Cole, who is here today. We'll also have author Mark Boston, who is he wrote the children's picture book, The Girl Who Carried Too Much Stuff. We've got Michelle Damiani, who wrote a memoir called, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Il Bel Centro. It's about a year she spent in Italy. And we've also got Mary Maroney, who writes Southern fiction, and she has an Apron Strings trilogy that we've got available at the library.
Well, I'm excited. I don't know about you, Clinton, but that sounds pretty interesting to me.
I'm very excited. Such a range of authors. Was that intentional to get a stylistic representation?
Yes, definitely. We wanted a wide variety of authors so that we could have, you know, people speaking from different kinds of writing experience.
And Meredith, what's your role in this?
I am going to show up and talk about being a writer here in Charlottesville. So I don't expect that to be a really, really challenging for me. My friend Sharon's going to be moderating, so I imagine she's got her work cut out for her because we all are very different writers. And so we're probably all going to be speaking from very different points of view.
So do you, considering that your guys are all very different writers, and take a moment to talk about your writing in particular.
Oh, okay.
Actually, before we get into that, let's focus on you for just a moment, because you know you're here.
Oh, because I'm here. I am published in mystery, so I had a mystery series set in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, you know, hipster capital of the world. and I had an art photographer sleuth who solved mysteries through her knowledge of photography, art, and her and detail, because she would take photos often and then could go back and look at the clues. So I was published with St. Martin's. I moved back to Charlottesville. I actually grew up here, speaking of homegrown. you know, whatever the hook, came back. And my writing has changed quite a bit. I still write mystery, but I've been experimenting in a lot of other genres as well.
So interesting. What prompted the change in genre?
Probably just maturity. I don't know. I think I'm just interested. I've always been interested in writing a lot of different things. I fell into mystery writing. I started as a screenwriter and filmmaker, and I worked in TV a lot. And I feel like mystery.
I love the image of somebody falling into mystery writing. Suddenly I had this image of you walking, turning the corner, and suddenly there's a dead body there, and out of nowhere, bum bum bum.
It was kind of like that. No, I actually, what happened is I had made several films. I directed several films. I was teaching at School of Visual Arts, and I had a moment, and that was basically getting pregnant, realizing, hey, I don't think I'm going to take a baby on a set, so what could I do from home? And writing a novel seemed like an interesting place to start. The reason mysteries were really a great place for me to go as a screenwriter is because they're so structured.
Right.
You have your clear act one, act two, act three. You know, kill somebody, try to figure it out. So it was a really great place for me to go, and it was a lot of fun. I had a big learning curve.
Yeah, I must admit that as somebody who does some writing, I do playwriting, but as somebody who does writing, most of my joy, maybe not most, but probably more than is intended of my joy in watching television mysteries is just to see them tick through the formula.
Yeah.
And just saying, oh, there it is, there, bump, bump,
bump. The biggest disappointment for me, and the reason I actually don't watch a lot of TV mysteries, people keep always asking me, is I really hate to guess the answer.
Right.
I'm like, twins. And then it is twins. And I'm like, oh God, I wish I hadn't known.
See, over years I have trained myself to not guess. I am the densest mystery watch. I am the densest watcher ever.
Throw you a red herring and you just tease
I will
it.
Eat that up. I will put salt on it, grill it up with a little Chianti and fava beans. And then all of a sudden you take the red herring away. I'll be like, what? Who could see that coming?
Well, that's I always say film school spoils you for watching films the rest of your life. So don't do it if you like films. and learning how to write a mystery does spoil you for a lot of. You really have to go for the really great mysteries, and you can't read the crap anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So since you're going to be part of this panel with so many different stylistic voices, Do you think that there's going to be opportunity for the authors on the panel to speak to each other as much as to speak to the audience?
I hope so. I mean, I think those sort of panels are really my favorite panels. I moderate a lot for the Festival of the Book, as well as other places. And I think the real goal is that is to create a conversation, because I think the most boring panels I've ever been to has been like answer the same question. Everyone goes down the line and answers the same question. Oh, kind of what she said, but, you know, at a coffee shop. You know, I think that instead it's a more interesting thing is to, you know, talk about, well, where do you write and why do you write there? And then people are sort of listening in on a conversation between authors and hopefully gleaning, you know, getting some insight to what that's like. So
the Virginia Festival of the Book, Clinton, if you're not aware, we do have yet another festival in town.
How many festivals do we have in this town?
I haven't done a tally, but at least the Festival of the Book isn't happening right now, so you're safe.
Are we paying for these festivals? Am I paying for these festivals out of my tax dollars?
Honestly, I have no idea, but a lot of what they offer is free. I can go that far.
Okay.
Meredith, what kind of panels have you moderated for the Festival of the Book? Just out of curiosity, while we're here focusing on you.
I mostly do Crime Wave as a mystery author. That makes sense. I have one of the more interesting ones was I was added into a horror panel several weeks before.
Dun, dun.
And that was actually a lot of fun, although none of the authors really had that much in common. We all found common ground and had a really great time. So it was really fun to do. But yeah, mostly you'll find me on Saturday at the Omni. I also do, not moderating, but participate in a publishing panel. And so we take short pitches. It's the Mosley Writer Group. And that's always very well attended. And it's a lot of fun. Try to be gentle, but helpful.
All right, 43 minutes past the hour. If you're just joining us, this is Homegrown, a show about local art. And where have you been? We've been through most of the show already. Good gosh. We're here with Abby Cox from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library and local author Meredith Cole. We'll be back with them after we hear these messages.
It's been over 40 years since Integral Yoga Natural Foods opened in Charlottesville to provide the community with natural and organic foods and supplements, and they're still there. Today's Integral Yoga offers a full-service smoothie and juice bar, locally grown and organic produce, bulk foods, plus local and gluten-free bread and artisan cheese. IY staff know their products and their customers and are always there to answer your questions on your quest for health and longevity. Integral Yoga is at 923 Preston Avenue and online at iyfoods.com. 94.7 thanks Integral Yoga Natural Foods for their support.
Hi, I'm Jeff Leonard, president and co-founder of 94.7 WPVC. As we approach our first year anniversary, we hope you've noticed many of the improvements we've made since our first days on the air. With over 50 volunteers, WPVC is truly community public radio. We're not community radio that gets nearly all of its funding from the state. We're not public radio from elsewhere that has discovered that Charlottesville is a good place to raise money, and we're not just physically located in Charlottesville, but really interested in serving other markets. Your tax-deductible donation stays in Charlottesville to help us serve you better. To continue, however, we must ask you for your help. You can donate right now at 947WPVC.org, and we thank those who have. In the coming weeks, we'll have some fashion items and other gifts to say thank you for those who help. Like Amy Goodman says in her promotional announcement for Democracy Now! On WPVC, independent media survives because of you. She couldn't be more right. Keep listening to find out how you can help. And thank you in advance for your support of 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
45 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, as Jeff just said. This is Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. We're sitting here with Abby Cox from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library and local author Meredith Cole. Abby, what was the... How many? And so is this the first time you guys have done the author panel?
Yes, this is kind of a new program for us. We're very excited about it. So it's going to start with the author panel, but that's not all that's happening that day.
Hello.
As soon as the author panel is done, Meredith and her fellow panelists will be joined by several other local authors selling their books. So there's sort of an author fair where the public is welcome to come and meet and talk to the authors and purchase books.
So first, they get to talk to the people who write the books. And then if they are interested, they get to, I don't know why this accent came on. It's just, I'm going to go with it. If they're interested, they get to then buy the books it's the best of both worlds.
We thought it would be a good kind of combination. Listen to people talk, pick up their books. So we'll have, if I can just list the authors who'll be participating in the fair.
Please do.
We'll have Elizabeth Sumner Waffler, Elsie Sethesen, Carolyn O'Neill, Ella Ray Murphy, Joseph B. Hicks, Fred Shackelford, and Michael T. Hemingway. So we've got a whole bunch of authors who are participating, a wide variety of books, so there should be something for everyone.
How did you guys get the word out to so many authors?
Actually, most of these authors contacted us at some point in the past about wanting to do an event at the library, and it's hard to do one with just one person. So we wanted to bring a whole bunch of people in together so that they would have a chance to meet more people and meet other authors and kind of network.
Nice. So was that the impulse for doing this? Did you reach sort of critical mass of authors contacting you and you said, you know, we really ought to do something? I know, we'll do something.
Well, we'd had sort of a failed program in the past where we'd bring one author in at a time and just, you know, hard to get the word out with only one other person helping spread the word. So with so many, we thought this is going to be a great way to involve more people, but also be of interest to more people. So we're hoping just to bring in a lot of people from the general public to meet the authors, but also as kind of a resource for authors.
And what is your ideal audience member for this? Or I don't know if you call them audience for this type of thing. The person who is looking to get what? Who is that person that should come to this panel?
The aspiring writer or author would be great. They'll get tips from our author panel, but also anybody who just wants to know what the local author scene looks like and get to know the artists in their community. I think this is a great place to do that as well.
Yeah, the local library does so many great things. It's nice to have an opportunity to actually get to come out and see people in the flesh, you know, see people who work at the library, see people who write books you like, or who write books you might not know yet, but perhaps you would like. I know I'm really interested in most of those topics you mentioned your authors write in. Do you see this project going forward in future years, or do you have another series coming up?
We're hoping to make this sort of an annual thing. There's also going to be... On the same day in the afternoon, our Louisa County Library is also offering an author panel with a different group of people. So we're hoping to sort of spread this out across our entire library system and maybe make it an annual event and build on it, see if we can build up from the panel and fair and maybe include some other kinds of activities and things.
Are you going to keep it at the same time with the same level of allergens in the air?
If at all possible.
Oh, joy.
Well, Clinton might make your audience a little more intimidating. And as the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, you guys have locations not just here in Charlottesville, but in the surrounding counties, like you said, Louisa.
Right. So we have two libraries within the city of Charlottesville. That's our central branch on Market Street and our Gordon Avenue Library. And we have our north side branch up here on 29 North near the station. We've got
the newly, I think, award-winningly designed north side branch,
yes.
Right?
It's beautiful. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out. We also have a branch in Crozet and one in Scottsville. So those are all of our kind of Albemarle, Charlottesville area. We have a branch in Greene County, one in Nelson County, and one in Louisa County. And then we have a bookmobile that sort of hits a lot of different areas in Albemarle County as well.
Excellent. And one of, I don't know how this will relate to your panel where we get to see people in the flesh, but one of my favorite ways to interact with the library is through OverDrive and your website. I love getting ebooks and audiobooks and things like that, which you can be in any county, I suppose, as long as you're part of this.
Yes, as long as you've got a library card and internet access, you can access our ebooks.
So, Meredith, it sounds like you do a lot of these. It's interesting because I think about authorship as being very solitary, especially in comparison to other arts, especially in comparison to us, I mean, Abigail and I, we do a lot of theater. And so we're constantly in front of people. It's constantly about the audience. It's almost obsessively about the audience. Not in a unhealthy, needy way. Please applaud. Please like us. Please like us, please. No.
No neuroses, we promise.
No neuroses at all. Do you find this type of pan? I mean, how do you find being in the public? Is that something that you crave? Is that something that helps your development as a writer? Is that something that's strange and bizarre? I mean, what is your relationship with your public, I guess?
Yeah. I was gonna just say yes, all those things. I think it's a really different experience. I think it takes a while to get good at it. I mean, you could probably think back to your first podcast and say, oh wow, I made some mistakes, or I was nervous or something like that.
My first podcast last week.
But you get better at it. You start to relax a little bit. And it is interesting how many times you're asked as an author to actually participate in things. So I did, and I think it's actually what was interesting when Abby was talking, because solitary events as an author can be a little depressing. Even if you're a big star, you can end up with hardly anyone coming out, because it just happens to be that, you know, the World Series has gone into game 7 or whatever. And so you just don't end up with a big audience. And one of the best experiences I had was traveling in North Carolina with 4 other mystery authors. We just had such a great time. We traveled to each venue, and if there was no one there, we would just entertain ourselves by talking to one another, because authors are some of the really funniest people, and quite a few of them are quite social.
And finding spare bodies lying around?
Sure, why not? It's all part of the fun. So yeah, I think you just get better at it. You get more relaxed. I also do a lot of teaching, and so that's just a different...
There you go.
So, hat, so
you're certainly used to interacting that way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I know we all have this picture of authors as kind of a private hermit, secluded animal, doesn't like to come out in public. But once an author gets going, that role actually can change. You go and do panels like this. You go and do events if you're promoting a book. My day job as an editor, I run into authors all the time who have no idea that that's going to be the next step once they, you know, have finished the manuscript process. So it's a great way. If you, for example, out there listening, are an aspiring author, or you have a novel in the works and you're not sure what comes next in your life as an author, going out to events like this, you know, where you can interact with authors and where you can see them talking to each other, doing events with the public, that's a great way to kind of get a feel for what authorship looks like.
I think also there's a misconception. A lot of people will say they'll be working on a book, or they'll finish a book and they'll say, I need an agent, I need an editor, I need to meet those people. Mm. And actually the first thing they should really do is meet other authors. It's a wonderful way to network. Well, often an author, if they really bond with you and they see you really are interesting, and they think you have an interesting topic, might recommend that you contact their agent or give you advice. And there's a really wonderful website called Predators and Editors, and it's kept up by folks who are just interested in making sure no one else gets burned. And I think you would miss out on that if you just went and said, oh, I'm just going to grab this warm-blooded agent that seems to have an address, you know?
Yes, personal referrals and experience are invaluable when you're new to the field and trying to find...
Right. And yeah. And I think that we need to, you know, we need to help each other. And as people, you know, make it up, help the people behind them. Because I think, you know, the more books we have, the better off we are as a world. I don't think there's some limit. You know, I don't think we should have just, you know, 6 publishers and 10 authors selling all the books. That's not enough voices. We need to make sure that we have as many voices as possible. And most authors I know also are huge readers. And so I'm going to be really excited to be on this panel and meet these other authors and hear about their books, you know, and it probably will, you know, reach into my wallet and buy some new books as well, because I think that's how we all help each other. And, you know, we're readers often first and authors second.
Awesome. Awesome. Meredith, Abby, thank you guys for coming to Homegrown. Abby, could you, either Abby or Meredith, could you give people once more the what, where, when about this author panel and author fair.
Sure. So this is going to be this coming Saturday, November 5th, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Central Library, 201 East Market Street in downtown Charlottesville. It's going to go from 10 to about 1, starts with an author panel, and then leads into an author fair. And so you'll have a chance to meet and interact with a bunch of authors and pick up a couple copies of their books if you feel so inclined.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. 5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your show about local art. And I think we have come to the end of our time. We'd like to thank our guests, Debbie Owen, president of Four County Players, and of course, Abby Cox from Jefferson Madison Regional Library, and Meredith Cole, local author, coming to talk about the local author panel. Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday morning wake-up call with Sean McCord, speaking to Jody Kilbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. Thank you for listening. Abigail, thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Clinton. It's always nice to get out of bed and come out here and see your lovely face on a Sunday morning.
You see, it wasn't as painful as it sounded like it was going to be, was it?
Actually, it wasn't. I'll just go ahead and leave that as a compliment. It wasn't that painful.
Wow. Okay. There you go. You know, the back of your hand is so soft. It's just backhanded compliment.
I know. It's kindness in my heart.
Allergens. Anyway. This has been Homegrown, your show about local arts. Stay tuned for Sunday morning wake-up call. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.